Hi and welcome to the podcast. My name is Greg Marshall and I'm the Vice President of Global Programs for the Flight Safety Foundation. Today I'll be interviewing Captain Harry Nelson, who is well known to many within the industry. Harry is the Executive Operational Advisor to Product Safety with Airbus. Harry is also a member of the Society of Experimental Test Pilots. Welcome to the podcast, Harry.
It's a pleasure to be here, Greg, and great to talk to you. Great to talk to everybody else as well.
Harry, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and also about what you do with Airbus?
Sure. I basically had three careers. I started off 12 years in the military with the Royal Air Force. During that time, I became an instructor straight from my own training and then went to test pilot school after flying Vulcans, nuclear bombers, for a while. There was an experiment going on to see if somebody could transfer straight into the left-hand seat. And so I found myself very young as a 22, 23-year-old captain of a Vulcan. From there, I went to the OCU to teach people to fly the airplane. And then from there, finally, to test pilot school, which is my dream to do some test flying. This was followed by a period in British aerospace, quite a long period, where I worked in Saudi Arabia initially, outside the Air Force now as a civilian. I was head of standards at the King Faisal Air Academy. I am quite proud of the number of people I sent solo, and we managed to work for, 4 years? Some 4 years there, 4.5 years, and we didn't lose a student during that whole time. So compliment to all the instructors who were there. It was a quite tough environment, but very rewarding in many ways.
That's an excellent record.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't easy. There were challenges with sandstorms and weather and inexperience and so on. But you know, you look back and it's funny. Life has a way of reminding you of the good times, and you forget about some of the challenges you faced. But we had a great bunch of instructors, all very experienced guys. All of them were what we call A2 instructors in the UK, which means it's a high level of experience. And from there, I got an offer to join Avro back at Woodford near Manchester in England to join their test team. So I joined their test team, which was exciting because they were flying a mixture of military and civil types. On my first mission for them, I was sent to deliver an aeroplane to East Africa, and I traveled the East African, all the East African customers, talking to them about the aeroplane and learning about how the old HS-748 was operated in those areas. So I found myself learning so much from our customers at that time.
Mm. And what about your present position and role with Airbus? So how long have you been with them, and what are you actually doing there now?
I'm a fairly new boy to Airbus, actually. I joined in 2000 from British Aerospace, where I'd been promoted into management for a while. I ran various jobs, including manufacturing, believe it or not. Strange for a pilot, but that was possible in the UK. So I joined Airbus in 2000, and initially, you've got to, when you join a new company with a new design philosophy and new lines of command and organization, it takes a bit of time to get used to it. So what I did was I went to Hamburg. Worked in the Hamburg office, which was great for me because gave me a chance to fly the aeroplane, just fly until I got used to the aeroplane. Found out what that was all about, design philosophy, got to know the people in Hamburg and the environment there. And then I was brought back down to Toulouse to deputize for Claude Lelay, who was the head of flight test at that time. He had a very strong technical team, as indeed there still is there. So my job was largely basically running the department on his behalf so that he could focus on the 380 development, which was just about to be launched at that time. Right. So I took all the routine stuff from him at that point.
Mm. Very good. And what about now?
Well, I finished flying in 2012. I hit the 65 age limit, and I didn't want to stop working because I was enjoying it so much. And I was asked if I'd be interested in going into the safety office. And it seemed to me to be an opportunity to put something back into the industry, which I'm trying to do. So right now I have several roles, one of which is doing what I'm doing now, really, which is communicating. we try and communicate the philosophies we have on safety and various other aspects around the world. And I'm heavily involved in that. As you know, you met me at several conferences. Another big area is I work with the pilot representative bodies to ensure that we involve them in a lot of our thinking. We test ideas on them, but also to keep them informed, because I believe you get the best out of these relationships if people are well informed. So I inform them of what we're doing and so on, and I have a very good relationship with the committees I sit on. I sit on the FALPA Human Factors Committee. I've also attended the Human Factors Accident Committee, and I'm closely involved with the ADO Committee as well, although I don't sit on that. We have another one of our guys who does that. So I work with these groups. In fact, we've got a meeting coming up very soon in Bangkok. And then the other job I do is on behalf of Yannick directly, because of my experience, I have a role to try and look ahead and predict future threats that might be coming our way as an industry. Mm-hmm. So I've sort of crystal ball glazing and trying to see what the next big nasty one is that we've got to avoid.
Yeah, and that's very important, because it's something we should all be very much aware of, is where are our next threats and our sets of risks coming from. Particularly with the evolution of technology and so forth, it has the potential to introduce new threats and so forth in the system.
Yeah, and some of these changes in the industry are slow. For example, if we look at automation, one of the things that we probably collectively missed as an industry, and I'm not pointing the finger at any particular group here, were perhaps some of the longer-term effects of automation. And I watch with interest as the car industry enters this automation world to see if they are considering the long-term effects of automation in the automation of cars.
Okay. So, Harry, you're currently the deputy chair of the Foundation's International Advisory Committee. What do your duties involve in that respect, and what are you concerned with on behalf of the committee at the moment?
Yeah, I'm very proud to be in that role. I deputise for Bill Curtis, who is the current chair, although Bill is so good at the job that, frankly, he doesn't leave a lot of room for me to have to pick up pieces. He's there on top of everything, as you know. You work with him very closely.
He's very good.
He's very good indeed. I think when I joined that group, or when I was invited to join it in 15, if you remember, Greg, we were a bit concerned about whether the remit was still valid, whether the terms of reference were still valid. And really, we were asking the question collectively, what needs refreshing in this area? I think with the remit and the terms of reference are behind us. They're done, and I think they're bang up to date and current. I think the other thing you recognized and you asked us and challenged us to help with was, did we have the balance right within the group to cover the international scene that the Flight Safety Foundation is involved with? And I think that's still, the jury's out. We're still working on that, although it's clearly, we've seen changes. We've seen new people come in. Fresh blood is coming in, particularly in the areas of helicopters and maintenance, which were a bit perhaps weaker than they should be. And I think we've got a little bit more to do to get where you want us to be in terms of the true international and multi-role that this International Advisory Committee is meant to be. After all, it's the primary group that is supposed to be advising the board of the issues that the Flight Safety Foundation should be working on.
Yes, and I think that, while we've made some inroads there, there's always going to be opportunities to improve. But, my thanks goes to yourself and Bill and the remainder of the committee as well in helping to make some of those changes. Harry, you're going to be moderating one or actually two of the sessions at this year's International Air Safety Summit, which is being held in Dubai in November. Would you like to tell us a little bit about those sessions, please?
Yeah, willingly. Can I just finish one comment, please, on the previous question, Greg, if I may, and then I'll come back to the moderating sessions. I mentioned in my Airbus role one of the issues is to look ahead at future issues, and one of the issues that I've picked up on is the issue of whether the industry at the moment is successfully matching its capacity with its intended growth, with its projected growth. We see massive growth, and we have seen massive growth over the last 5-6 years. We're looking within the Flight Safety Foundation to start a pilot program, which will measure this issue of capacity and growth. And the focus for the pilot program will be what we call multiple aircraft diversions. There have been several examples where multiple aircrafts have diverted and have generated situations with slightly higher risk than we expected. And with the growth, the question we're asking is, will that situation become worse? So I'm hoping that we can find a way of announcing that at the IAS this year, but we can discuss that a little bit more in the future. If I move now to the moderating session, I'm delighted to be involved in moderating two sessions. The first session, I think, is on Tuesday, which is in the morning, and it's going to be on human factors, which is my, as you know, it's my personal passion. My very first flight test tour was on the blind landing experimental unit way back. It's now a unit that's closed, but in those days we did some really interesting work on heart rate, workload, workload assessment through various interesting tasks. So it's very close to my heart. And we have some great speakers. We have Nick Dahlstrom, who's a good friend of mine from Emirates. He's going to talk about facilitation and frustration associated with automation. He's a great speaker. If anybody hasn't seen him, I recommend him to everybody, because you'll find that you'll just be spellbound by this guy. And he always finds a new way of giving a new insight, if you like, to issues that we think we know about. He's going to be followed in this session by Captain Dirk De Winter and Vincent Treves, both from Eurocontrol, who will also talk about an interesting subject which has causes, or still causes, many injuries every year. They're going to talk about their work on wake impact assessment, which I'm aware that this work's been going on. I haven't seen the results of their work, so I'm looking forward to that one as much as everybody else. And then finally, this session on human factors will close with Thomas Clements from Jeppesen, who's going to talk about fatigue risk monitoring system. This subject of fatigue, it's a bit like chewing gum, isn't it? It just doesn't go away. Yes. And I'm glad it doesn't, because it's such an important subject. We've put in place these fatigue risk management systems, and I'm interested to see what this one is. But it's such an important subject, because all pilots are aware, I think, at grassroots levels, that this is still a big issue in it. We've addressed sort of 90% of it or 80% of it, but we've still got some distance to go yet. So that's the Tuesday session. What have we got on Wednesday? On Wednesday, we got a session, another very interesting session on risk management. We have three speakers here, led off by another good friend of mine called Ratan Katwa from Honeywell. He's going to talk about the next generation of flight safety systems. He's right at the cutting edge of, he and Honeywell are right at the cutting edge of these of this area. So I'm sure we're going to be in for a very interesting presentation there.
Absolutely. And Ratan's also very engaging as well. He's very engaging with the audience.
Yeah, he is. I work with him closely on the European CAD committee. And he's always very stimulating and interesting when he's there too. So I think we'll all enjoy him. Jill Sparrow is another very good speaker. I've heard Jill speak before. She's from Emirates, and she comes with interested. This subject is her passion. And basically she's asking a question: is your crisis management system effective? So we're going to hear a bit about crisis management systems. And thinking of the period that Emirates have just come through, it'll be very interesting to see what her reflections are on that subject. And then we finish this session with another very good speaker, and this one's also very interesting to me, which is Ilias Panagopoulos from the NATO Heavy Lift or Airlift Management Group. And he's going to be talking about higher risk operations with dynamic risks, if you like. So I think we've got three very interesting speeches there on the Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to both those sessions, Greg.
Yeah, excellent. So, and I'm looking forward to those as well. As you say, we've got some very engaging speakers there. So I'll be looking forward to all of the presentations at this year's seminar. Harry, you're also busy here as well, because in addition to moderating two sessions, you're also listed as a speaker with a presentation entitled Some Thoughts on Decision Making. You know, without giving the whole presentation away, can you tell us a little bit about what's behind that topic?
Yeah, I can, willingly. I wasn't really expecting to speak this year, as you know, but both you and my boss like to get their money's worth from my travel and my visit, so I'm actually delighted to speak. I'm actually going to give, I borrowed a talk actually from a good friend of mine called Dave Owens, who is the training strategy manager here at Airbus. He carried out a significant piece of work for the command course that we now run. And in that preparation for the command course, he realized that we really didn't have a course covering how do we make decisions. What he found was we have a lot of mnemonics for carrying out the process around decision-making, but most of them have somewhere in there a D, and the D stands for decision-making. But nobody actually said, well, this is how you do it. So he started studying this and involved me in some of that discussion. And so I borrowed his work, which is, I think, very good. It's the central theme of the talk is the work carried out by Gary Klein, psychologist, on naturalistic decision-making. And he specifically espouses a form of decision-making called Recognition Prime. The full titles, RPDM, Recognition Prime Decision-Making. He studied firemen in particular, but also many other groups. People basically who had to make decisions under pressure, under time pressure. And I commend to people listening his books, if you haven't read them. He's a fascinating writer, very easy to read. But I'll be talking about decision-making and Recognition Prime.
Okay, that's excellent. Harry, as we've mentioned to our listeners before, our International Air Safety Summit is being held in Dubai between the 14th and 16th of November. Now, for the first time, the foundation is going to be running a safety seminar in India, and this will occur straight after IASS. So we'll have a one-day seminar being held there on Friday the 18th. And you've kindly agreed to travel with me to India to assist by delivering presentations at that seminar again. Are you going to be covering the same topic or something different? And why do you think that coming to India is so important?
Well, I was really pleased to be invited to do this one because I think at the moment India is an area where we have to focus more of our attention. I don't mean just the Flight Safety Foundation. I mean the industry as a whole. Very interestingly, we'll be meeting there a good friend of mine called Captain Dhruv Rabapragada from Indigo Airlines. He attended our safety conference, our Airbus safety conference, 2 years ago, and came up to me informally after a session. And we had a discussion about India and discussion about some of the situations that he's found. He was then investigating an accident, which was part of a broader multiple diversion situation. So I'm going to cover the issue of multiple diversions there. That's going to be one of my topics because I think it's absolutely appropriate within the Indian environment. He's actually sort of semi-requested that, but I think it'll develop nicely in the Indian situation, so I think it's appropriate for where they are. But I'm really pleased to be going because I think the more presence we put on Indian soil, the more we can help. As you know, the aviation scene in India is expanding very rapidly, and I think we've got to reflect that in the attendance and in our selection, if you like, of conference sites and so on in the future. So that'll be one of the subjects. And the other one, I want to kind of go to the other end of the scale, if you like, and talk about something that's they're also brilliant at in India, which is data handling. You know, their software skills and data skills are very high. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about data because I think we all recognize that data gives us many opportunities, provided we're prepared to take them. But coming with those opportunities come some responsibilities to handle data in a mature way. So I want to sort of hit a balanced view on not threats exactly that come with data, but some of the considerations that we have to put in place at the same time as we want to capitalize on big data, as it's being called. I don't like the term myself, but that's what's being called. So I'm going to talk about multiple diversions and the capacity issue in India, and I'm going to talk about data for my second speech.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Harry. And obviously, those are very, very topical in the industry right across the board at the moment. And I'd like to say thanks very much to you for your continuing support and also the continuing support of Airbus, supporting the foundation and also being a part of our seminars, not only IASS this year, but also following up and assisting us with India. So, Harry, thanks very much for being a part of this podcast.
It's a pleasure. I'm pleased to be here, and thank you on behalf of Airbus. We treat it very seriously, as you know. We're there with you all the way.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Greg. Bye now. See you soon.
This year, our International Air Safety Summit will also include a parallel session on maintenance and engineering safety, and this will be held on Tuesday, the 15th of November. I would like to thank all of our sponsors and supporters for our International Air Safety Summit this year, particularly Emirates, who are our host sponsor. Well, that's it for this podcast. Until next time.